In a world where magic pulses beneath the surface of reality, three souls find themselves bound by fate and fractured by circumstance. Tissaha moves through moonlit streets of Aris capital with a desperate purpose: to steal the Heartstone, an artifact of immense power. When she finally claims it, the stone melts into her skin, creating intricate golden patterns that pulse with ancient magic. This seemingly simple theft becomes catastrophic when palace guards discover her, forcing a frantic escape that ends with the sacrifice of Melina, a kitchen slave who showed her kindness. Gravely wounded, Tissaha survives only through Ishka's intervention, her loyal companion who carries her to safety through underground tunnels. Meanwhile, Max endures a living nightmare within Illazath, a haunting white tower where reality shifts like quicksand. Stripped of memories and magical abilities, he clings to sanity by obsessively drawing three shapes: a spiral, whispering of ancient powers, a triangle, burning in his dreams, and a circle that feels like home. These seemingly meaningless symbols resonate deep within his fractured psyche, connecting him to a past he cannot remember. The third thread follows Efe, once known as Reshe, whose very existence defies natural law. Resurrected by the enigmatic Fae King Cadoon, she grapples with an identity crisis that transcends normal understanding. Her soul, once intertwined with both Tissaha and Max, now exists independently, yet remains connected through ethereal bonds that manifest in shared dreams and simultaneous bursts of power across continents. Have you ever wondered what happens when a single soul is torn into three? This supernatural triangle forms the foundation of a story where memory becomes both prison and salvation. Max's imprisonment in Illazath transcends physical confinement into psychological torture. The sentient tower erases his drawings and torments him with visions, while Queen Nura's magical stratagrams tattooed across his body bind his power and strip his autonomy. With no memories beyond age 17, Max lacks even mental refuge. When he escapes with his brother Brian's help, this mental prison follows him, a man without a past, haunted by unknown powers and forgotten relationships. This creates devastating tension upon reuniting with Tissaha. "What's your name?" he asks, watching her face collapse. Yet his body remembers what his mind cannot, drawn to her scent, her presence, the dual-toned face matching his compulsive drawings. The novel poses profound questions about identity. Are we still ourselves without our past? While memory may falter, our actions' consequences remain etched in the world around us. Against personal struggles unfolds a complex political landscape. Threl maintains power through slavery, Era exploits wielders militarily, and the Fae harbor centuries of resentment. Tissaha's journey reveals revolution's complicated reality. Having escaped slavery to liberate others, she discovers overthrowing oppressors doesn't automatically create justice. When helping establish the Alliance of Seven Banners from former Threlian territories, she argues for preventing collapse rather than pursuing wholesale vengeance. The narrative rejects simplistic solutions. As Arch-Commandant of Ara, Max questions rebuilding the Orders. How can we continue an organization that sanctioned torture, suggesting some structures are too corrupt to salvage? The story examines power's corrupting nature. Cadoen, despite noble intentions to protect the Fae, becomes willing to burn them all to the ground in the name of a single Fae life. Even our protagonists aren't immune. Tissaha risks others to free Max. How many lives is justice worth? When does vengeance mirror the original crime? These questions remain unanswered. The Lahiras, three ancient artifacts of immense power, drive the central conflict. The first appears as a transforming, petrified heart. The second as an amber stone containing a fetus-like form that creates life, while the third remains hidden until the finale. They represent the ultimate power all factions seek. These artifacts function as both plot devices and metaphors for creation, destruction, and transformation, a trinity echoed throughout the narrative in patterns like past, present, future, and body, mind, soul. The magic system connects to responsibility themes. Using the Lahiras disrupts the natural order, tearing holes in the layers of magic and causing it to bleed between realms, metaphorically representing environmental destruction. Magic reflects psychological states. Tisana's withering magic mirrors her trauma. Max's burning magic reflects his self-loading, and Enfei's flower creation contrasts with her violent past. By the climax, characters must sacrifice by sealing away deep magic, suggesting true heroism sometimes means relinquishing power rather than wielding it. This fantasy tale deeply explores trauma through its protagonist's wounds. Tisana carries physical scars from enslavement alongside psychological ones, nightmares, flinching from touch, and pervasive mistrust. Max's amnesia functions as a trauma response, protecting him from unbearable memories. Afe's centuries-long existence has been defined by exploitation, her body and magic used without consent. The story portrays healing as messy and non-linear. When Lady Zorikoff tortures Tisana, triggering intense flashbacks, Tisana ultimately finds strength to reject her abuser's narrative. "I killed you, and I destroyed your empire, and I don't need to think about you again." Most powerfully, characters learn to love because of their scars. Tisana and Max don't love idealized versions of each other. They love their complete truths, embracing the strengths their wounds have created. This story explores justice, vengeance, and redemption after unforgivable acts. Afe's uncompromising rage against humans who tortured her kind endangers everything she loves. Kaduin's vendetta stems from legitimate grievances, the slaughter of his people and Niraja's destruction, yet transforms him into what he despises. Miajka exposes his hypocrisy by questioning why his vengeance is acceptable when others is not. Max represents the opposite extreme, carrying such guilt he questions deserving happiness. His journey shows that while atonement matters, endless self-punishment serves no one. Accepting Tisana's love isn't about earning it, but committing to build something better. Tisana offers the most nuanced perspective. Despite every reason for vengeance, she recognizes its limitations. When confronting Lady Zorikoff, she initially wants her to burn slowly, but chooses a clean execution instead, refusing to become the torturer she once suffered under. Have you ever wanted revenge so badly you could taste it? What would you sacrifice? Would you still be yourself afterward? 5 years post-war, Tisana and Max have built a life in rebuilt Shadowhaven with their children, 5-year-old Kira and 3-year-old James. Tisana leads a school for both human and fate children, while Max runs a craftsman's guild blending magical traditions with innovation. War's aftermath persists through Max's nightmares and Tisana's scars and occasional panic. They support each other, understanding that healing means carrying trauma while moving forward, not erasing it. The Democratic Council faces ongoing challenges, mediating between former enemies and dismantling oppression. Southern provinces resist change, and integration struggles as prejudices threaten hard-won alliances. Tisana and Max believe meaningful change requires countless small acts of courage and compassion, a philosophy embodied in their school, teaching empathy alongside academics. As Tisana's mother said, "You have survived, my daughter. Now live." Healing becomes an active choice, embracing joy despite pain, trusting despite betrayal. In this fractured world, the most revolutionary act isn't destruction, but creation.